Kalim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Gimel 2-3, and we are drilling down on the basic principles behind Kli Cheres, earthenware vessels, and how they become tame. Here in our Mishnah, we're going to say there are certain utensils that are made out of fired clay, but they're not set with the Tumah. And there are going to be three potential reasons why, three principles at work. The first is that a Kli Cheres must have a base kibul. Earthenware vessels must have a cavity that's designed to hold something. Okay, and we'll define what that means in the Mishnah a little better. But the point is, if it's not a cavity, it's not designed to hold things, that doesn't count as a base kibul, and therefore if it lacks that, it will not be susceptible to Tumah. The second thing is that it has to be a kli that's designed for Kabbalah, to hold things. Think like liquid, okay? It's not specifically liquid, but the point is it needs to be able to hold, let's say, liquid in it. And if it can't, it has a hole in the bottom, it has a breach in the side, so then it's not makabel Tumah. The third thing, meaning it's structurally intended not to hold anything because it has a hole in the bottom or a breach in the side. The third thing is that even if it has a base kibul and it's like, let's say, holds things, but it's designed to be used upside down, essentially it's a cover, okay? So in other words, think of like a custom Esrog box which has two halves. So the top half, you know, it receives and is intended to hold the top half of the Esrog, right? But it's a cover for the Esrog. It opens, you know, the concave side down. So that being the case, if it's used as a kisui, as a cover, it's not makabel Tumah. So those are the three principles that are work in different ways in our Mishnah here. The Mishnah begins by saying, Hataharon shebekli cheres. The different examples of utensils made of clay that are actually impervious to Tumah. Again, tahor means they can't become tame. Give him a derbonin. A tavla she'en la lizbez. Tavla means a tray, okay? It's from the same, it's a really Latin word, come from the same Latin word that gets you the word table today, or tablet. Okay, and it's a flat surface. Think of it as a tray. A lizbez is like a frame to hold things. So in other words, a flat tray with no frame around it, it's just a flat tray. And it could be great as like a charcuterie board to keep your, you know, salami on, or your slice of cheese, but it won't hold liquid. It has nothing. It won't hold anything. There's no base kibul. That's the point. Since there's no base kibul, no receptacle to hold things, it's not makabel Tumah. Similarly, umachata prutza. If you have a machata, like a fire pan, again, like think of like the kind of thing you use to take a pizza out of the oven, that kind of like out of the pizza oven, like in the pizza shops, something shaped like that. But this is really for kind of coals on a fire. So the point here is that, again, this thing either doesn't have a frame, according to the bartender at all, so since it has no like frame and walls, it just is a flat thing, it's not makabel Tumah. Others learn that since we don't use the same words here, we're not saying ein lizbez, we're saying it's prutza, it's got a pirtza. A pirtza is like a breach in a wall. So the picture that you should think of is essentially it has like a frame around it, which could hold the coals, let's say, but it's got a breach in the wall so that, like, let's say if you poured, you know, marbles or liquid inside of it, it'll roll out the hole. So that being the case, that's not considered to be having a receptacle that works, and therefore no base kibul and not makabel Tumah according to that opinion. Next you have a buv shel kalayin. This is like the surface on which someone's going to roast like toast grains and the like. Think of it as like maybe you're gonna roast chestnuts up with open fire. The point is that it's structurally very, it looks kind of like a matkot bat, you know, if you know what I'm talking about, from the beaches in Israel. Or think of it just as like a miniaturized version of the pizza oven tray thing. But the point here is it has holes inside the surface so that the fire can get through and really heat up what's cooking on its surface. So there's no frame around it, no lizbez, no frame to hold in things, so there's no base kibul at all. It does have some semblance of a toch, of an inner airspace, as much as there are holes passing through it, but it's irrelevant. Since it's not designed to hold things, it has no base kibul to hold things, it's not makabel Tumah. Next you have visilonos. Now a silon is like a pipe. According to the bartender, it seems it's like a gutter pipe, and you know gutters like on the edge of your roof are kind of open on top. So according to Bartanur, this is essentially, which has like sort of like a U-shaped cross-section. According to others, it could be not a, like a marzev, which is the Bartanur defined it as, which is like the gutter. It could be just essentially like a pipe, like a tsinor, like a good old-fashioned pipe that's closed like a circle cross-section. But the point is, it doesn't hold anything. Water does pass through it. It has an inside space. There's like a toch again, but no base kibul, not designed to hold things. So the Mishnah here says, Afal pi kfufin, even though it has like sides that curl up, that's what the bartender learned. So it's a U-shape, which is like kind of walls. Because the previous part of the Mishnah, we had said, oh, like your tray if it doesn't have like the sides that curl up, the lizbez and the tavla, so then it doesn't count. Here, this silon has walls that curve up on both sides, so the water can go inside of it and sort of be held there, sort of on the two ends, but it doesn't help it. And afalpi mekablin, even if there's like a, even if it the walls can hold that water a bit as it passes through. That's what the bartender learns. It's really kind of one and the same. The mekablin and the kufanis kind of goes together. Others learn that the mekablin is that there's essentially like a bubble, if you will, or a pocket, like inside the tube or the pipe, the silon, the thing was like a regular pipe, and that pocket can hold water, right? So because it's like it's an indentation at the bottom. If you have pictures, it's so much easier to look at, and so I encourage you to have pictures from a Sechus Kalim, really be helpful for like every mission that came out. In any case, so that is, if it's like a bulge in the pipe where water would collect and pool, that doesn't count as a base kibble because that wasn't what it was intended to do. Even if we're talking here about a clay pipe which is made that way, it was made poorly and it can hold water, but it's not intended to be a water holder, it's just a pipe for water to pass on through. Worth noting, the bartender holds a Maseches Mikvos, that if you had a tube, like a pipe, for water, and it had a catch, meaning there's like a pocket at the bottom, which is designed to catch, say, stones or debris that's flowing through the water, so it shouldn't, block the pipe later on. So that catch is there to catch stones, and according to Bartanura, if that were the Mekabel we're talking about, it, yes, would be Mekabel Tumah, because that is designed to hold the stones. Others hold, even that wouldn't count as a Mekabel and a base kibel, because you don't want stones to collect there, just as there, just in case. Well, that's okay. Next you have the Chavkav Sha'aso L'sal HaPas. This is essentially like a cover for your bread basket. In my mind, you often go to restaurants, they have different kinds of flat breads where they're talking about like in a Chinese, Japanese restaurant, you have like the mushu, or you might have, the in an Ethiopian restaurant, the big breads, or the Mexican restaurant, the tortillas, or the gyoza inside the container, all the above. It's like a wicker bottom and there's like a lid on top. So it's something like that, okay? So the point is, this is the lid on top and it kind of covers the bread basket. Kind of, even if it's shaped in a way that it catches the protruding bread upwards, kind of like my picture of the esrog box. We have the top of it that closes on the esrog. And the bread is meant to sort of fill the airspace, if you will, of this kavkav. Still, since it's designed to be used upside down, it's a cover, so it's not Mekabel Tumah. As far as the etymology of the word kav, I don't know it. There's another gears which says it's a kaf. Now, like kafui means like turned over, okay? So, or a kippah, like on your head even. So if it'd be kaf, it would make sense that it's like a domed thing, like your kippah on your head. The point is, it operates, with the concave side facing downwards as a cover, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah. Utfi sheskinu la'anavim. Now this, again, a picture would be so helpful. The tfi, which according to the Rambam is short for the tfiach, which means like the dripper. Think of this as like the Talmudic version, perhaps something approaching like an eyedropper. Okay, what's happening here is, let's say you're keeping olive oil, just like in your olive oil today, probably it's has a large container, with half a liter or something, but then there's like at the mouth of it, there's like a way that the flow of the oil is restricted, so it shouldn't come out fast and pour too much oil out. So the tfi is the same kind of thing. The bottom half is like a big bulge. It's a flask. The top is very narrow, so the oil will flow out very slowly. Okay? So, of course, that tfiach, whatever it is definitely a Mekabel Tumah, as is, because it's there to hold the oil, and it has a base kibble, and it's got a toch. I mean, it's great. The thing is, what you're doing here is you're essentially breaking it. You're breaking it in half and using it upside down. So the Chiddush HaZmish, which is a big Chiddush here, is that if you take that very flask that was used to hold oil, but essentially break it in a way that now it's been reused, that you can use it upside down to like seal the top of the grape container. Now it's been used upside down and it's no longer a Mekabel Tumah. Let me clarify this. There are rules. What defines something as a kli to be Mekabel Tumah or not depends on the person who made it or who owns it, his intentions. If you intend to use this, let's say you have a generic, simple basket-shaped thing. If you say, listen, this is going to be used concave side up for my holding my keys, it's Mekabel Tumah. If you say this is used concave side down to cover my bread, it's not Mekabel Tumah. And it's the exact same thing. Just depends on what you're having in mind to use it for from the outside when you, let's say, you wove it, when you wove the basket. Now, in the event that it's got its status as being tahor, like it uses a bread basket cover, so then all you have to do is just change your mind. Oh, now I'm using it as a key holder, and it's now tumah susceptible. The other way around, however, if it's already tumah susceptible, like it's a key holder, you say, oh, I'm going to now transform this thing into a cover of a bread basket. So now you need to do two things, not just think, not just with your mind to decide you're going to use it as a cover, but also do some sort of physical change to it. You need both those things to make it no longer tumah susceptible. And that's what's happening with our tfi. This thing is a makabel tumah because it's a flask. You're having in mind using it upside down, but that's not enough. You have to use it upside down, like intend to use it for a way that is not makabel tumah, for example, upside down. And also do a physical act to change it, like, for example, you know, break off the edge of it so it fits snugly onto the cover of the grapes. If you do those two things, now it stops being makabel tumah. Next, we have the v'chavis shel shayatin, which means the barrel of swimmers, literally. This is essentially a life preserver. Think of it basically as a big balloon made out of clay. So the idea is here that it's closed on all sides, and the chiddush is it has a tochen inside, and actually it's meant to hold air even, but because it doesn't let stuff in and out, that's not called a receptacle, not a base kibble, and therefore this flotation device, which is closed on all sides, not letting water in or out, doesn't have a base kibble, so it's not makabel tumah. Next we have v'chavis defuna b'shulei hamachatz. Let me just translate these words for you, because they're in themselves a little bit of a challenge. So chavis, let's call it a jug. Dofuna, so here it's the word dofen, which means like a wall, like as in like a yotze dofen out of the abdomen or a defanos of your sukkah, is being turned into a verb. So like it's embedded into the wall of something, the chavis, the little jug is. Bishulei, a shulayim, is like the lower part, the bottom of a utensil, of a container. So bishulei means the bottom of hamachatz. A machatz is some kind of, you know, large urn, whatever, let's call it. So here we have the chavis tefuna b'shulei hamachatz. It's basically like a jug, think of like a cup kind of thing, that is turned upside down and embedded into the side of a larger, you know, urn to pour liquid out of. The point is that this jug is serving essentially as the handle. So you would put your hands inside the upside down cup, which is attached to the side of the wall of the machatz, to pour it. So the point of our mission here is that since that operates upside down, you know, it's going concave side down, and it has a toch, of course, there's an inside, but it's not meant to hold things. Your fingers go inside the handle, but it's not a finger holder. Your fingers do the holding of the handle, okay? So the point is that that thing attached to the outside, even though it's a kli, it's upside down, it operates upside down, not meant to hold things, and therefore, notwithstanding it has a toch, it's not called a base kibel, and it's not makabel tumah. Next you have v'hamita v'hakiseh v'hasafsal, a bed and a chair and a bench. Those are not makabel tumah, and you'll say, of course they aren't, because they're flat. A bed doesn't have a base kibel. But the point of our Mishnah is actually a bit of a chiddush, because other materials, let's say a wood, if you have a wooden bench or wooden chair or wooden bed, it is makabel tumah, even though wooden utensils need a base kibel. The difference is there's a separate whole realm of tumah transmission called tumas medras, sometimes referred to as mishkav, moshav, and merkav. Mishkav means things that you lie down on, like a bed. Moshav, things you sit on, like a chair or a bench. Merkav, things you ride on, like a saddle. So those things are, yes, makabel tumah, even without a base kibble, meaning that if a zav, a nidioletus, sits or lies or puts their weight on any of these kind of things, they become tummy, a very potent source of tumah. The point, therefore, is that under normal circumstances, a wooden utensil, for example, needs to have a base kibble, but things that you lie or sit on are exceptions to that rule. So while it's true our wooden bed is makabel tumah, a clay bed or a clay chair or a clay bench is not makabel tumah, even though it's designed for sitting on. That's a rule to itself. Okay, so another tumas medras doesn't apply to kli cheres. Next you have v'hashulchan, a table. So again, tabletop, simple table is flat. There's no base kibble, of course. The chiddush is that a wooden table is makabel tumah, but pashas midurabanan, okay? But the point is that dindurabanan, which applies to a tabletop, does not apply to a tabletop if the table is made out of clay. Vahasfina, a boat. Also, there's actually a mission in Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva holds, based on a pasuk in Mishlei, the derech anya belev yam, the way of the boat is inside the heart of the sea, from which he learns that just as the sea is not makabel tumah, so too a boat's not makabel tumah. So if you happen to have a clay boat, not recommended really, but if you do, so it's not makabel tumah. V'hamenorah shel cheres. Same goes for a menorah, a candelabra, made out of clay. So just so you understand what the menorah looks like, both in the Mishnah's mind and also really in the base of Mikdash. So the menorah had these like eight places where you'll have, you know, fire burning. But the menorah itself, even a metal menorah from the base of Mikdash, basically it's these seven platforms, or kind of seven little shelves, I'll call them. And you would put, let's say, a glass cup with the oil and the wick on it to burn. But the glass cup can come off. So the point is, even the glass cup really fits exactly there and stays there. But the menorah itself is just a stand, a flat stand with no base kibble, on which you put these glass cups that have the, you know, oil and wick. So therefore, a regular menorah, if it's made out of clay, since there's no base kibble, there's no receptacle, there's no cavity, it's not makabel tuma, even though it holds the lamps on top of it. Hooray elu tahorin. All the things of our Mishnah are tahor, meaning they're not makabel tuma. Now, the Mishnah says Zeha Klal, this is the guiding principle. Now, normally, 9 times out of 10, when the Mishnah says Zeha Klal, it's doing two things. It's essentially summing up the principle, summing up what we just saw with the single principle, and the Gemara always asks, Zeha Klal la suye mai, it's coming to add something because, well, we don't need to sum up what's already been said before unless it's coming to be additive. But 1 time out of 10, Zeha Klal is telling you like a new unrelated point, and that's what's happening here. This is a new point, totally unrelated, and actually it's a doozy. I wish it were a new Mishnah because it's like a new topic, essentially. The short is like this. There's a din derabanan. I'm telling you a very short version of it. A din derabanan that although liquids cannot convey tumah to kalim, midirabanan, they can, okay? They turn a clean to a rishon. Atomic liquid turns a, which is all midirabanan, all liquids, that are tame, can make a rishon, and they convey tumah to a kli. Now, so people shouldn't get confused in this to Tumah Doraisa and then end up burning Truma, which is an Isra Doraisa. So Truma is a funny thing, because if it's Tameh, you have to burn it. If it's Torah, it's forbidden from the Torah to burn it. So we don't want people to make a mistake. So they made a hekka. They made the rules of Tumah transmission to Kalim from liquids be funny, be unusual, so that people can know this is just not the usual type of Tumah transmission, but a Din Derabanan. And what they did was they said that if the Tumah goes to the outside of a Kli, like meaning that the tummy liquid touches the outside of the cup, so then just the outside becomes tummy, but not the inside, okay? Now, that would raise kind of an interesting potential question, which the Mishnah is going to anticipate, which is, wait, you can't make a regular earthenware cup, a klicheres tummy from the outside ever. And also you can't convey tumah to a cup from liquid ever. So if when the rabbis made their din derabanan, did they say that a tummy liquid that touches the outside of a kli cheres cup doesn't make the outside of the cup tummy? Yes or no? So the answer is yes, it does. And that's why the Mishnah here says as follows. Zeh klal, the following is the principle. Kol she'ein bo toch b'kli cheres. If you have a kli cheres which has no toch, meaning it's not makabel tumah at all, then ein lo achorayim, then it has no tumah susceptibility from its outside, even midirabanan. So if the kli was from, let's say, our list that we had in our Mishnah, if tame liquid touches it, it stays tahor even on the outside. However, the implication that is that if the kli does have a toch, a regular cup, like just a coffee mug, which has an inside where you put the coffee inside, if a tame liquid touches the outside of the coffee cup, then midirabanan, the outside of the coffee cup, is indeed tame midirabanan, even though the inside remains tahor.